You are listening to WMUC-FM College Park. I'm Orla, and this is Stand By Your Girl, a show all about women and country music. But today we are questioning our identity a bit because we will be playing mostly men and some bands and a couple women. But today I am doing a final project for one of my classes, Theater 287, called the class is called Subversive Cultures and Performance. And it's been a bit challenging for an elective, but I think a lot of you who are choosing to tune into a college radio station might enjoy it. So basically, our final project assignment was to come up with our own artistic project that was somehow subversive. So I chose to do a DJ set because that's my form of art that I most enjoy. And I'm going to get a little academic on you here, just remind you that I am a college student. And one of the methods that we've discussed a lot in the class is something called speculative design, a concept by Anthony Dunn and Fiona Raby, where essentially you redesign an everyday experience or object or something more unusual in a way that represents a future that is preferable to you, whatever perspective you're coming from that may seem preferable. And I haven't really designed anything new here so much as going back in time to an old design where I'm going to be playing for you all vinyl today, vinyl specifically from our record library here at the radio station. And basically, I felt like to me, a preferable future would be to see DJs go back to the analog process of actually playing records and having to listen through the record and choose a song that sounds good, and having, you know, record publishing companies be sending radio stations records again. That's basically what everything I have here today is. It's all promo records from the time that the album came out that the label sent to us with the goal that we would play it on air, and a lot of these have some wear on them, so they did get played, I assume, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I think it would be preferable if DJs went back to taking the time to do that. And the other sort of subversive aspect of this music is that it is all basically protest music in a sometimes loose sense of that term, but, you know, it's all commentating on society at the time and things that were going on, and a lot of it proves to be surprisingly still very relevant. And yeah, this relates to a term that we talked about called Parisia, coined by Krzysztof Wodiszko, and basically Parisia translates to fearless speaking in Greek. And it basically is this idea that sort of overcoming strife needs to be a public statement that you speak about or perform or whatever publicly. And so this music, I think, really highlights that idea, because it wasn't just played by these musicians in their home. They put it on major labels and they played it at concerts. And so yeah, that's sort of an introduction to what we're going to be doing today. But of course, we have our PSA.
Come all of you good workers, good news to you I'll tell, of how the good old Union has come in here to dwell.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Are you a graduate assistant, research assistant, or teaching assistant at UMD? Are you tired of low pay, long hours, high fees, and no safety net for international students? So are we. The UMD Graduate Labor Union is organizing for collective bargaining rights for graduate workers on campus. Right now, the administration unilaterally controls our working conditions, but we are fighting to change that. To learn more about graduate labor organizing efforts on campus and what a union can do for you, visit umdgradworkers.org.
All right. I think you will find that is a very relevant PSA to what we will be talking about today. Not by coincidence. So anyways, our first song today is called MTA. We're going to be listening to the version by the Kingston Trio. But MTA is a 1949 song by two women, Jacqueline Steiner and Bess Lomax Hawes. And it tells somewhat of an absurd tale of a man named Charlie who is trapped on Boston's subway system, which is known as the MTA. And it was originally recorded as a mayoral campaign song for the Progressive Party candidate Walter O'Brien. But when the Kingston Trio did it in 1959, they changed the candidate's name. And this song has become very entrenched in Boston lore, so much so that the Boston Area Transit Authority named its electronic fare cards the Charlie Card in tribute to the song. And they had a dedication ceremony for the card in 2004, which featured a performance by the Kingston Trio of this song. And it's based on a much older song called The Ship That Never Returned, but when they sort of revamped it in 1949 for mayor candidate O'Brien, he couldn't really afford to have radio advertisements, so he enlisted local folk singers to write and sing songs that he would then tour around with on a truck with a loudspeaker, which led to a $10 fine for disturbing the peace. But one of his big campaign ideas was to lower the price of riding the subway by removing this complicated structure they had about paying different exit fares depending on where you went. And apparently the system was so complicated that it had a 9-page explanatory booklet. And he was really against private ownership of the subway system, which he thought caused higher fares for local people. But like I said, when the Kingston Trio sang the song, they changed it from Walter O'Brien to George O'Brien because they wanted to risk or avoid the protests that had resulted from earlier recordings, and because people originally saw it as celebrating a socialist politician, which was a scary thing to do, apparently. But yeah, I thought it was a pretty cool song. I thought it was kind of lighthearted and interesting to see how this sort of protest song could be very local. A lot of the examples we think of are sort of very like international or national issues, and this was a very local issue in Boston. So here it is coming up, MTA, sung by the Kingston Trio.
These are the times that try men's souls. In the course of our nation's history, the people of Boston have rallied bravely whenever the rights of men have been threatened. Today, a new crisis has arisen. The Metropolitan Transit Authority, better known as the MTA, is attempting to levy a burdensome tax on the population in the form of a subway fare increase. Citizens, hear me out. This could happen to you.
Well, let me tell you of the story of a man named Charlie on a tragic and fateful day. He put 10 cents in his pocket, just his wife and family went to ride on the MTA.
Well, did he ever return? No, he never returned, and his fate is still unlearned.
What a pity.
He may ride forever neath the streets of Boston. He's the man who never returned.
Charlie handed in his dime at the Kendall Square station, and he changed for Jamaica Plain. When he got there, the conductor told him one more nickel Charlie couldn't
get off of that train.
But did he ever return? No, he never returned, and his fate is still unlearned.
Poor old Charlie.
He may ride forever neath the streets of Boston. He's the man who never returned.
Now all night long Charlie rides through the station crying, what will become of me? How can I afford to see my sister in Chelsea or my cousin in Roxbury?
But did he ever return? No, he never returned, and his fate is still unlearned.
Shame and scandal.
He may ride forever neath the streets of Boston. He's a man who'll never return.
Charlie's wife goes down to Scully Square Station every day at 2:15, and through the open window she hands Charlie a sandwich as the train comes rumbling through.
But did he ever return? No, he never returned, and his fate is still unlearned.
He may ride forever
neath the streets of Boston. He's the man who'll never return.
Pick it, Davey.
Kinda hurts my fingers.
Now, you citizens of Boston, don't you think it's a scandal how the people have to pay and pay? Fight the fare increase, vote for George O'Brien, get for Charlie off the MTA.
Or else he'll never return, no, he'll never return, and his fate is still unlearned.
Just like Paul
Revere. He may ride forever neath the streets of Boston. He's the man who'll never return. He's the man who'll never return. He's the man who'll never return.
Hey, to Charlie.
Oklahoma knew him well. Was in the town of Shawnee on a Saturday afternoon. His wife beside him in the wagon as into town they rode. A deputy sheriff approached them wife she overheard. Well, pretty boy grabbed a log chain, and the deputy grabbed a gun, and in the fight that followed, he laid that deputy down. Trees and the rivers to live a life of shame. Every crime in Oklahoma was added to his name. Yes, he took to the trees and the rivers on the Canadian River shore, and the outlaw found a welcome at many a farmer's door. Yes, there's many a starving farmer the same story told, how the outlaw paid their mortgage and saved their little home. Others tell about the stranger who came to beg a meal, napkin left a $1,000 bill. 'Twas in Oklahoma City. Christmas Day came a whole carload of groceries and a letter that did say, "Will you say that I'm an outlaw? And you say that I'm a thief. Here's a Christmas dinner for the families on relief. Well, as through this world I've rambled, I've seen lots of funny men. Some rob you with a six-gun, some with a fountain pen. As through this world you travel, as through this world you roam, you'll never see an outlaw drive a family from their home.
Sorry if I blew your ears out for a minute. It's a lot of work trying to switch out the records and returning to a time of using vinyl records would not be easy, but I think it would prove that DJs are skilled, that it's not just putting on a Spotify playlist. But anyways, that song you just heard was sung by a woman. I tried to get a couple of female voices in here today. My speculation, and it's just a speculation about why a lot of the music I found wasn't by women, is that I think being a woman playing music in the time period that we're talking about, the 50s, the 60s, was hard enough, and you were going to have a lot of difficulty getting recorded if on top of that you were also trying to be overly subversive. So that's just my thought. But yeah, we're doing sort of a chronological order today, and mostly country and folkish stuff. I didn't want to completely lose the identity of the show, but so anyways, that was Joan Baez, if you didn't recognize her voice, singing a Woody Guthrie song called Pretty Boy Floyd, which is the tale of a man who was known as Pretty Boy Floyd, and Guthrie took an interest in his tale. Apparently, he was an Oklahoma native who turned to bank robbing and violence in the 20s during economic struggles in this country, and it was a well-known tale during this time. Guthrie was only 8 years younger and probably heard about these stories in newspapers and such, and when he wrote this outlaw ballad in 1939, Pretty Boy Floyd had been dead for 5 years, but it's sort of a Robin Hood tale of good versus evil, where a thief steals from the rich banker to give to a poor farmer, and but this isn't necessarily based in fact. Apparently, it's not really thought that Pretty Boy Floyd was actually such a good character. He was known for his part in the Kansas City Massacre of June 1933, where they tried to free prisoner Frank Nash, by who was in Kansas City FBI custody, and Pretty Boy Floyd and his friends opened fire on the FBI agents and police officers and had Nash escorted out of the FBI headquarters, which led to the death of several FBI agents and Nash himself. And then in 1933, Pretty Boy Floyd was wanted for a St. Louis highway robbery, an Ohio bank robbery, and a number of other things. But Woody Guthrie sort of washes over all of these crimes that he's been accused of and says that Pretty Boy Floyd shoots down a rude deputy who wrongfully accuses him of every crime in Oklahoma. And the song contains one of his most famous lines on the idea of, like, money and crime, where he says, "Yes, as through this world I've wandered, I've seen lots of funny men. Some will rob you with a six gun and some with a fountain pen." So basically alluding at the idea that it's not any different to, you know, not pay a worker what they deserve, as it's, that's not any worse, or that's not any better than robbing someone. Yeah, so this, I thought this was interesting. It was sort of outlaw country before outlaw country had a name, and if you watched the movie A Complete Unknown, you might know that Woody Guthrie and Joan Baez sort of ran in the same folk circles of the 50s and 60s, and if we have time, we will get to some more artists in that circle and from that movie, but we're moving a little slow, so we'll see what we get to. Up next, you're going to hear another song off of this. This is like a compilation of Woody Guthrie songs, some sung by Woody, some sung by others. And but I wanted you to hear his voice, so we're going to hear another song off this record called Hard Travelin', which Woody himself said is a song about the hard traveling of the working people, not the moonstruck mystic traveling of the professional vacationist. Song about a man that has rode the flat wheelers, kicked up cinders, dumped the red hot slag, hit the hard rock tunneling, hard harvesting, the hard rock jail, looking for a woman that's hard to find. Yeah, this one's also obviously like a protest song so much as just like an ode to people who work hard, but I wanted you to hear his voice, so we will hear that now.
I've been a-having some hard traveling, I thought you knowed. I've been a-having some hard traveling way down the road. I've been a-having some hard traveling, hard rambling, hard gambling. Been a-having some hard traveling, Lord. I've been a-riding them fast rattlers, I thought you knowed. I've been riding them flat wheelers way down the road. I've been riding them blind passengers, dead enders, kicking up cinders. I've been having some hard traveling, Lord. I've been hitting some hard rock mining, I thought you knowed. I've been leaning on a pressure drill way down the road. Hammer flying, air hose sucking, 6 foot of mud and a show been a mucking. And I've been hitting some hard traveling, Lord. I've been a-hitting some hard harvesting, I thought you knowed. North Dakota to Kansas City, way down the road. Cutting that wheat, stacking that hay, and I'm trying to make about a dollar a day. And I've been a-having some hard traveling, Lord. Working at Pittsburgh Steel, I thought you knowed. I've been a-dumping that red-hot slag way down the road. I've been a-blasting, I've been a-firing, I've been a-pouring red-hot iron. And I've been a-hitting some hard traveling, Lord. I've been a-laying in a hard rock jail, I thought you knowed. I've been a-laying out 90 days way down the road. Damn old judge, he said to me, it's 90 days for vacancy. I've been a-hitting some hard traveling, Lord. Thank you.
the end of the early British war. A young land started growing, the young blood started flowing, but I ain't marching anymore. For I killed the share of engines in a thousand different fights. I was there at the little big war. I saw many men lying, I saw many more dying, but I ain't marching anymore. To the wars, always the young to fall. Now look at all we've won with the saber and the gun. Tell me, is it worth it all? For I stole California from the Mexican land, fought in the bloody Civil War. Yes, I even killed my brothers and so many others, but I ain't marching anymore. Of the German trench in a war that was bound to end all wars. Oh, I must have killed a million men and now they want me back again, but I ain't marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the war, always the young to fall. Now look at all we've won with the saber and the gun. Tell me, is it worth it all? In the Japanese skies, set off the mighty mushroom roar. When I saw the cities burning, I knew that I was learning that I ain't marching anymore. Now the labor leaders screaming when they close the missile plant. United Fruit screams at the Cuban shore. Call it peace or call it treason, call it love or call it reason, but I ain't marching anymore.
Alrighty, that was Phil Oakes with his song "I Ain't Marching Anymore." This is an anti-war song. He's a U.S. protest singer from the '60s, known for being a pretty passionate critic of the American military-industrial complex. And this 1965 song is one of his best known. He wrote it about our involvement in the Vietnam War. And it's from the perspective of a weary soldier who's seen every war since the War of 1812. And the chorus, you know, says that it's always the old who lead us to the war and always the young to fall. And he sort of questions if military victory is worth the price. He said himself that the song borders between pacifism and treason, combining the best qualities of both. And the fact that you won't be hearing this song on the radio is more than enough justification for the writing of it. Well, here it is on the radio. So, it, he continued to perform it at concerts and rallies for the rest of his career, and it was always very popular. And he performed it in 1967 on the ABC TV special called Dissent or Treason, which was one of the rare appearances by him on national TV. And in 1968, he performed it during a protest outside the Democratic National Convention, which led to hundreds of young men burning their draft cards, which he said was a highlight of his career. And then he was called as a witness in the trial of the Chicago Seven, who were charged with conspiracy and other crimes related to Vietnam War protests. And the defense attorney asked him to sing the song, but the judge wouldn't allow it, so he just recited the lyrics. And this was, if you've heard the song before, you might have thought this sounded a little different, which it does. It's an electric version, which I thought was pretty cool, and I thought I would have probably never heard if I hadn't picked up the vinyl here in our record library. And this was released in 1966 as sort of a folk rock version accompanied by the Blues Project and a bagpipe player, which was released as a single in the UK And critic Richie Unterberger wrote of this version, "If ever there was a successful reworking of a plaintive acoustic song into a dynamic electric one, this was it." Yet the song failed to chart, maybe unsurprisingly, because it's not really meant for radio, as he said himself. But yeah. Up next, we've got Creedence Clearwater Revival with their song Fortunate Son. It's a pretty well-known one. Came out on their fourth studio album, Willie and the Poor Boys, in October 1969. It had been released as a single before that, and it became sort of an anthem for the anti-Vietnam War movement and very expressive of the counterculture's opposition to executive power grabs, including opposition to the draft and solidarity with soldiers. And it's been used extensively in pop culture depictions of the Vietnam War and the anti-war movement. But it's also a pretty catchy song. So here it is, Fortunate Son by Creedence Clearwater Revival. And you are listening to WMUC College Park, where college radio is good radio. Stay tuned. I'm Orla, and my show is called Stand By Your Girl, although it's not really that today. But anyways.
Almost cut my hair. It happened just the other day. It's getting kind of long. I could have said it was in my way. I Christmas. And I'm not feeling up to par. It increases my paranoia. Like looking at my mirror and seeing a police car. But I'm not giving in an inch to fear. 'Cause I promised myself this year I feel like I owe it to someone. Together, I'm going to get down in that sunny southern weather, and I find a place inside the land. Separate the wheat from the chaff. I feel.
Excuse me, that was Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young with their song Almost Cut My Hair. I really enjoyed that one. I hope you did too. That came out on their 1970 album Deja Vu, and it describes a real life dilemma that many hippies had to deal with, whether to cut their hair to a more practical length or leave it as a symbol of rebellion. This one was written by David Crosby and features solo vocals by him with the rest of the band on instruments as opposed to vocal harmony that was pretty common on most of their other songs. And it was one of only two songs from the album that Neil Young joined in on despite not writing. And the notion of a long hair as a freak flag had appeared earlier, especially with Jimi Hendrix's 1967 song If Six Was Nine, but David Crosby is credited with really popularizing this idea of long hair as a deliberate, invisible symbol of someone's affiliation with the counterculture and anti-establishment values. And the song also talks about his paranoia at seeing the police. And it said that more than any other song of the entire era, it captures the extent to which the divisiveness in American society had boiled over into violence and terror. On that happy note, it became one of his signature songs and probably his most important political song. But David Crosby himself said it was the most juvenile set of lyrics he'd ever written, but it has a certain emotional impact, and there's no question about that. Yeah. I like that one. Up next, we're finally going to hear a woman. Woo! This is Nina Simone with her song To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. She sang it, but the lyrics were by someone named Weldon Irvine. But she first sang it in 1969 to a crowd of 50,000 at the Harlem Cultural Festival. But then 2 months later, it was recorded as part of her concert at the Philharmonic Hall, which led to a live album called Black Gold. And it peaked at number 8 as a single on the R&B chart. The title comes from Lorraine Hansberry's autobiographical play by the same name, and this song became really an anthem of the civil rights movement. And I saw an article where they say that it's a perfect example of the spectrum of protest music, specifically Black protest music. They say they hesitate to even refer to this song as a song of protest because it's really a celebration of Black brilliance and excellence. And there's a long intro on the record, which I'll sort of skip over because it's 10 minutes long if we play all of that. But she says in this intro that it is not addressed primarily to white people, though it does not put you down in any way. It simply ignores you. For my people need all the inspiration and love that they can get. So it's sort of an interesting, different, more positive, in a way, take on protest music. But here it is, Nina Simone, To Be Young, Gifted, and Black.
My people need all the inspiration and love that they can get. So since this house is full and there are 22 million Blacks in this country, I only want 1 million to buy this record. You understand?
To be young, gifted and Black. Oh, what a loving, precious dream. To be young, gifted and Black. Open your heart to what I mean. In the whole world you know, there's a billion more.
Unifies, and don't divide us. Let us get it together, Lord. Let us not fight over trivials. Let us learn how to love ourselves first. Unify us. Hear me, West Square. Hear me, man. Hear me, story. Hear me, mama. Hear me, daddy. Hear me, everybody. Oh, yeah. Call it on. Lorraine, hear me. Langston, hear me.
Fine, I do suppose. 10-hour streak of lightning, cars and fancy clothes. But just so we're reminded of the ones who are held back, up front there ought to be a man in black. I wear it for the sick and lonely old, for the reckless ones whose bad trip left them cold. I wear the black in mourning for the lives that could have been. Each week we lose 100 fine young men. And I wear it for the thousands who have died, believing that the Lord was on their side. I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side. Well, there's things that never will be right, I know, and things need changing everywhere you go. But till we start to make a move to make a few things right, you'll never see me wear a suit of white. Oh, I'd love to wear a rainbow every day and tell the world that everything's okay. But I'll try to carry off a little darkness on my back till things are brighter. I'm the man in black.
All right, that was Johnny Cash, Man in Black. The sort of contrast between those two songs was accidental. Didn't realize that until this moment, but Johnny Cash, who is known as the Man in Black, wrote this protest song in 1971 as sort of an explanation for why he had always been the Man in Black when he was performing on stage. And he says it was a protest statement to the treatment of the poor by wealthy politicians, as well as mass incarceration and the Vietnam War. He said the intro was written after talking to some audience members at a show at Vanderbilt, and then he revised it a few times before the next concert and was using cue cards so he could remember the new lyrics he had just written, and it led to a standing ovation. They really liked it. I was really happy to discover how much of a Johnny Cash collection we have here in our record library at the station. So come check that out. But maybe our last, yes, will be our last song today, is Masters of War by Bob Dylan, written between 1962 and 63 and initially released on the Freewheelin' Bob Dylan in 63, a protest song against the Cold War nuclear arms buildup of the 60s, and ranked by Rolling Stone in 2025 as the sixth greatest protest song of all time. He played it at the Newport Folk Festival in 63, which was his first visit there, before him and Pete Seeger got into a fist fight, apparently, over electric guitars. But then he recorded a live electric version at Wembley Stadium in 1984, which went on to his 1985 Real Live European Tour album, which is the version I have here for you today. That's the version we happen to have in our record library, and I think that's pretty cool. Maybe I would have never heard this version if I hadn't found it in there. So speaking of which, I hope you've enjoyed the show today. I'm Orla. This is Stand By Your Girl. You're listening to 90.5 FM. And as I've been talking about, we have a record library of over 30,000 records here at our station. If you are a UMD community member, you should come check it out at Record Team Tuesdays at 7 p.m. We've only got a couple more left before the end of the semester, so come out while you can. But yeah, thanks so much for tuning in today. I'll be back to my regularly scheduled programming of Women in Country next week, next Monday at noon. See you then. Bye. We'll be right back.
Soviet planes. And I threw the big bombs in the hide behind walls, in the hide behind this. I just want you to know I can see through your mask. You've never done nothing but built to destroy. You play with my world like it's your little toy. With a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes. Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won. You want me to believe, but I see through your lies and I see through your grave. And I see through the water that runs down my grave. For the others to fire, then you sit back and watch. But if death camp gets higher, you hide in your mansion for the young people's blood. Takes its time.